Now she's going to preach. Praise God. No, she has to stand up because she sits too long. Yes. She's standing for the Lord anyhow. I want to go to Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, 30th verse. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for your mercy, your grace. Thanking you for your love. Thanking you that we can come to you with our petitions, with our burdens, with our problems. And Father, we'll know that as we place it in your hands, that you'll take care of it. And whatever the outcome is your way to take care of us and to lead and guide us into the paths that you would have us to go. I pray for your word tonight, that God, I can only share that which you place on my heart. And it's the Holy Spirit just anoint throughout this service, Father, through each person, through each heart, and through this here, your messenger here tonight. And I give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. The scripture in Ezekiel 22 and 30 says, I searched for a man among them who would repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, so that I might not destroy it, but I found no one. We're living in, Timothy calls it, perilous times. We're living in a time when the knowledge of the Word is almost anywhere where you can get it, on the TV, CDs, DVDs, all kinds of preaching, everything, anywhere you can get the Word. There's not a lack of resources to receive the Word of God. The resources are out there. But it seems like nobody, or the majority of our population, cares. And he's talking here about someone standing in the gap. You know, if you read from the 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd chapter, you'll find out that Israel, if you look at the similarities there to our country right now, you'll see a lot of similarities to what's going on in our country in those chapters. And he's saying, I searched for a man. I searched for someone that would repair the wall and stand in the gap. And you know, I want to talk a little bit tonight about intercessory prayer. I remember that when I first got saved, coming to church, they came to church a half hour or more before church, and they were at the altars interceding for the pastor, interceding for the church, interceding for the work of God. And I thought about that as I was going through my message for tonight, how I realized that their prayers had probably had a lot to do with me coming to the Lord, even though they weren't definitely geared to me and others. But their prayers for the church and for people, their prayers were powerful. They spent time, and I mean, when you come to church and you walk through them doors, the Spirit of the Lord was present. And you come expecting God to do something for somebody, whether it be you or somebody else. Albert Einstein said, "The world would not be destroyed by those who do evil, but those who watch them without doing anything." Stop and think about that. That scripture verse. He said, the evil is not going to destroy the world. But he said, for those that watch and do nothing. And I believe that's what the church has been doing for a lot of years now. They've been watching and doing nothing. They stood back and said, well, God will take care of this. God will do it. But you know, God expects us also to do something. He expects us to put our part. He'll do, and He's got the power to do whatever we come to Him and ask for. Anything asked in the name of Jesus, consider it done. He gives us the right to intercede. God looks for those hearts who are prepared to be intercessors before Him. Now we talk about prayer, and we talk about having prayer here. And there's no doubt in my mind that those that come on prayer night intercede for certain things. But you know what? I think of Christ when He looked over Jerusalem and He wept. He wept because they didn't recognize who He was. They didn't recognize the coming of the Messiah. For many reasons, He wept over the city. When's the last time that you have wept over a person for their soul? When's the last time you have wept and cried for our nation? When's the last time you have wept and cried out to God for our president to guide him? And I want to say something here tonight. I think a lot of preachers and a lot of churches don't know the Word of God, and I'll tell you why. Because the Word tells me that anybody that's put in office, doesn't make no difference if they're a dictator or who they are. They're there because God has placed them there for a purpose. God's allowed them to be there. We've heard a lot of preachers preaching in the last 4 years and said that God has allowed Trump, our president, to be there for a window of opportunity for the church. Not just for our country, but for the church to stand up and be the church. Be the church triumphant. Be what God has called us to be. Prayer warriors, seeking the face of God. Seeking answers. Praying for our president. This next week is a big week in our nation. The impeachment process in the Senate. We need to be praying and interceding. I'm not saying interceding if Trump is wrong. I'm saying interceding for the truth to come out. And praying for the truth. Praying for men's hearts to know and understand the truth, whatever's happening up there. I can't be there. You can't be there. But we sure enough can be there in prayer. Interceding. And God's looking. God is looking for people that are prepared to stand in the gap for other people, for those that are in the world. God's looking for a church that will stand in the gap for our young people and the young generation. God is looking for people that are willing to bend their knees and pray and seek the face of God. Intercessors have a heart in tune with God's heart. And being an intercessor is a very special person in the body of Christ. They're powerful. They're in tune with the Lord. Have you ever heard of Praying Hyde? Have you ever heard of him? Reading his book on Praying Hyde, two things stand out in my mind. One thing was that when he died, they went into his room, and where he was, the wood floor had holes in it where his knees rested on that floor and prayed beside his bed. Pray and hide. Now that's a lot of praying. How that, and then the other thing, he was in a service in England, and the elders had taken a woman who was demonic to a side room in that church, and they were praying with her. And they couldn't do anything. She would just scream and holler and fling them around. And so one of them decided, let's get praying hide in here. They went and got him. He come to the room. They opened the door, and as soon as he walked in, that woman shut up. And they said there was a glow come to the room, a presence in that room, a presence that he had spent time with the Lord. And he just commanded, and that was it. He didn't request. He commanded the devil out of that person. Authority. Why? Because he spent time. He spent time on his knees in the presence of the Lord. And I think about that tonight. I remember when I was young coming into the church. I wasn't a young man, but I was young in the Lord. And people, the demons were cast out of people. People were delivered. And I say tonight to you, where's that power? Where's the power? We're all knowledgeable. We know more about the scriptures than we ever knew before. We know more about prophecy and end times than we ever knew before. And we know about the power of God more than we ever did before. But where is it today? We need to intercede in prayer. We need to know what's at stake for this land. We need to know what's going to happen if we don't pray. We have a president right now that's willing to make a stand and trying to change things. And those that are intercessors for prayer will stand their ground no matter what the devil brings up. They will stand and pray and stand in the gap. They won't get discouraged. And I'm going to tell you, somebody that's an intercessor is a very special person in the body of Christ. Not everybody is an intercessor. Not everybody knows the will of God when they pray. My wife had a sister that we used to call when we'd be going through a hard time. And call her and tell her what we were going through and ask her if she'd pray. And she said she would. You know, my wife, sometimes it wouldn't be very long. Sometimes it may be the next day. But whatever it was, she would call. She would call us and give us an answer. And her answer was right on. There was no, and she was an intercessor. She was a very bad diabetic, but yet she was an intercessor, and God used her. And she never got healed, but she had that relationship with God, knowing the heart of God, being sensitive to the Lord. Why do we not intercede? Why do we not take the time? Are we just too busy to pray for that lost soul? Are we too busy to pray for our nation? Are we too busy to pray for our government? Are we too busy to pray for the fire department, the police department, and the paramedics? Are we too busy to pray for them? Has the world or Satan himself caught us all up? Caught us all up and wrapped us up that we have forgot that the best time we can have a conversation with God is when it's on our knees praying. If you can't get on your knees, God will honor you all throughout the Bible. People were prayed sitting. People, remember, prostrate on the ground against the wall. God honored their prayers. Why? Because they had a heart to intercede with God and knowing where the answer was coming from. They had a heart. And I wonder how many times when we pray, do we really believe? Or are we just saying words coming out of our mouth? Oh Lord, pray for so-and-so. I pray for Jane. I pray for John. I pray. But do we believe in our prayer? Have we spent time when we go to the Lord of prayer to let God speak to us? Or are we just asking for God to do it and sit down and pray and say, God, you know how to do it. I don't have time to stay here. I've got to go and leave. Are we too busy? Or maybe we're just lazy. We don't want to get out of bed. Just plain lazy. I don't want to spend the time. Or maybe we're worrying when we pray what God will tell us. We may not want to hear it, what God has to say. Or maybe we just don't feel it's necessary. Let someone else do it. Let Glenn pray. I'm tired. I don't need to pray. Let Glenn pray. And Glenn will say, well, I don't want to pray neither. Let Brother Tony do the praying. I don't want to do it. But just think what would happen if the three of us all started praying for the same thing in the series. There's power in prayer. And there's power in unity in prayer. When we start praying for the same thing. How many of you want to see this church grow? How many of you want to see the power of God moving? How many of you want to see people being delivered from sin? How many of you want to see demonic individuals being delivered? Because a lot of what's going on out there with drugs and all that is demonic. It's all demonic. It's spirits. And we got the power over that. And we need to take that power. Spend time in the Lord in prayer. Remember when the disciples tried to cast out the demons and they couldn't do it? They come to Christ. They wanted to know why. Jesus said, this comes by prayer and fasting. He didn't mean that when you got somebody that's demonic that you run home and start to pray and fast. He meant you pray and fast all the time. You prepare yourself for these situations. You prepare yourself to come to church. You prepare yourself to be here. I'm coming to church to see a mighty move of God. I'm coming because that's where I know I'm going to get fed. God promises that if we ask, we will receive. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Three things he tells us to do. He tells us to first ask. Then he says, seek. You know, I thought about that, and I've said it a few times this last couple, few weeks or so. I heard one say that if you're praying for rain, when you leave the house, take your umbrella. Believe it's going to happen. If you're praying for rain and you just leave without your raincoat, your umbrella, do you really believe? Are you getting the point tonight? Are you getting what I'm saying? If you're praying something, believe it's going to happen. Prepare yourself. Seek. Seek the face of God. Seek His face. The Bible says, if you seek the righteousness of God, all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew, I think it's 5 or 6:33. All these things will be added unto you. In other words, He's going to take care of you. But you've got to seek His face. You've got to seek Him in prayer. And knock. Don't give up. Don't give up. If at first you pray, if you first pray, just don't say, well, it didn't happen today, so I'm not going to pray no more. We pray for our grandchildren, our children. We pray for everybody in this church and our devotions. For God to meet your need. Whatever that need is, that God will meet it. Every day, we pray for that. We pray for our children, our grandchildren. Have we seen all of it? No, we haven't seen it all, but I'm going to tell you, I believe God's going to answer. Because He hears our prayers. And He will answer your prayer. Maybe not in your time, but in His time. My mother prayed for me all the time. I mean, I'll tell you what, I was one of those guys that kept her on her knees praying. She got to see me come to the Lord in her lifetime and start back in the church. She never knew that I went into the ministry, neither did my dad. And my dad said one time, one of my sons is going to be a preacher. There was five of us boys. Nobody believed it was going to be me by the life I lived. But you know what? He must have been praying for it. I don't know. But I want you to know something. God answers prayer. Because it wasn't too long after I started the church and come to the Lord that my mother passed away. I always want to say, well, her work was done. God took her home. You know, John 15:5 says, first of all, I want to say our everyday lives will be affected by our prayers. Our everyday life will be affected by our prayers. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him shall bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you don't pray, you don't have that relationship with Him. You're not hooked into the vine. If you don't have that relationship with Christ, then you have nothing. You have to have that relationship with Christ. And the only power there is, the only power you have in a prayer is in the name of Jesus. The only power you have in dealing with the devil is in the name of Jesus. If you don't use the name of Jesus Christ, He'll be all over you. You have to use the name of Jesus Christ. God has given us a power of attorney in Christ. And Christ has authority over him. Jesus warned, apart from him, we can do nothing. First, we must have an intimate relationship with Christ. That we can know his will and be able to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. We must have that intimate relationship. And that's not by just reading the Word of God. That's spending time in prayer and talking to Him. But not only talking to Him, but allowing and being quiet and allowing Him to talk to us. Having a moment of silence when we're praying and let God speak to our hearts. And let us become sensitive to what God is saying. Could it be that we fail to intercede because we misunderstand the heart of God? Could that be possible? That we don't understand the heart of God? And Matthew 23:37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as hen gathers chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Is the church willing to be gathered together under the wings of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to come together, not only in this church, but the body of Christ, to start to pray together, to start believing, the body of Christ? And the body of Christ is every born-again believer. No matter what denomination they are in, if they're born again, they're part of the body of Christ. They were baptized into the body of Christ. We're all members of the body of Christ, working for one goal, one thing, and that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life. Jesus wept over Jerusalem as he interceded for it. If we truly have God's love within us, we will be compelled to plead with God on behalf of those who face imminent judgment. Those that we know are living a life of the world that are going to come into judgment down the road if Jesus should come back. And I don't know when he's coming back, but I do know one thing, he's coming back. He's coming back. I don't know when that is. And I hope that's not him calling us, telling us he's coming. But anyhow, you know what? A thought run through my mind. How many people would be in church tonight that once knew the Lord and once had a relationship with Christ? If somewhere the Lord had said, I'm coming back tonight at church time, I wonder how many would be in church. Would you have a crowded church? You would probably have a lot of people coming to church that know the Word. Why wait? Why wait? The signs are telling us. We need to be praying and seeking God for the church and for the lost. We need to be interceding for them. Why wait and take a chance? Why wait? It's time that your church rises up and becomes triumphant, becomes victorious. We can't let, and you know you're going to get upset maybe, but these churches that are preaching nothing but love and all this kind of stuff, Jesus Christ is love. And there's no doubt in my mind, he's love. But there's more to it than that. They don't want to preach against sin. They don't want to preach anything against sin. But sin is sin, whether they like it or not. It's sin is sin, and sin, with sin, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And the only way to get into the kingdom of heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to get there any other way. There's not five or six or seven other ways. There's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I need to be spending time building my relationship. Intercessory is a lonely business. It's a lonely position. There may be many days or even years when there appear a few results in your labors. Yet intercessors can only be only one stand between a family, between a sinner, and between the church, and between our nation. Standing in the gap and God's judgment, or between an individual or nation or God's wrath. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I think, places it for us tonight. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That's a prayer for us today. That's for us today, for this nation. That's it. If my people, are you his people? Are you his people? Are you called by his name? Are you willing to humble yourselves and pray and seek his face? Are you willing to ask God to cleanse you and turn from your wicked ways? God, search my heart. Search me if there be anything in me, Father, that would hinder me from having a relationship with you. If there's anything, Father, speak to me. Show me. Help me to get through this, Father. Help me, cleanse me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Cleanse me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Let your Holy Spirit come in and cleanse me and take all that out of me, that I may be able to be in your presence. And then he says, then I will hear. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Our nation needs a great move of the Holy Spirit. Our politicians and all those that are in authority, there needs to be a cleansing and a challenging of their relationship. A cleansing of the Holy Spirit. He says, now heal their land. I'll heal your land. Our land, our country needs a healing. We have so much anger, so much confusion, so much anger going on and hatred. Our land needs a healing. And the only way to come, I know you may be saying, but we're just one church. We're just a few people. But let me tell you, if you intercede with all your heart, all your being, seek His face, keep asking and keep knocking, I'm telling you, God will answer prayer. It's in our hands, church. It's in our hands. Are we going to intercede? That's the question. Are we going to intercede? Because the answer is prayer. It's prayer. We can have all the preaching, all the teaching, and all that. But without prayer, it's not going to do no good. We have to have prayer. And we have to intercede. Whether it be in your home, where you spend time kneeling at your bed like praying high, or whether it be here in the church, wherever it is, you need to pray and come to the point to be able to stop and listen to what God is telling you and what He's saying. God bless you.